through it, obviously, but we have got to. Velona Satay Hashem Alakenya Lagoha Artsais. You did not give it Hashem to the nations of the lands. Velahin Chaltoi Malkenya Lavidei Fasilim. And you did not make it the inheritance of those, Amen, of those who worship idols. And you did not make it the contentment of those who are uncircumcised. I think we started discussing the fact that this, the Rambam had a whole machlokes, doesn't belong in Shabbos Shemona Esrei, rather in Musaf, and we discussed that, so I won't go over that again. And I think we got to Rav Schatz that explained that Shabbos wasn't given here on earth to the 70 nations. I think I discussed that. But it was the 70 spiritual angels. I think we discussed that. I think that's what we did up to last time. We got to the Dover Shalom. The Dover Shalom says that there are three designations. Okay, here we go. Number one is there's nations of the world. You didn't give it to the Goyim of the world. That's number one. Then we say the same thing again. Then you didn't give it to those who worship graven images. That's number two. And then number three, you say, God did not give it to those who are uncircumcised. Would it not just be fine just to give it to say you didn't give it to number one, and that would include two and three? Or you didn't give it to number three, and that would include two and one. Why is the text splitting up God's not giving Shabbos to three distinct groups? One is the Goy Ha'artzos, two is Ovdei Fasilim, and three is Arelim. They're three separate, distinct human groups who are all not the recipients of the Sabbath. Just say you didn't give it to anyone who's not Klal Yisrael. Why are you telling me all these three things as to who you didn't give it to? Just say you gave it to Israel. Why are you splitting everything up? I've got news for you. There are probably more than three groups. And individuals that don't like Shabbos very much. And individuals that hate spirituality. I don't know. Make up other groups. So the Dover Shalom says there's something to learn about all of this. It says like this. The reason why Chazal have split it up into three groups is because there's three types of Shabbos. That's what the Dovish, amazing, three types of Shabbos. And each type of Shabbos is hidden from a particular type of a group. You would never have thought, would you? I bet that wasn't going to be coming up in the guesses. Listen to this Dovish Shabbos, you'll like this, it might even be a worth coming moment. I don't bank on it. I've got some things later which I think you'll like more. But you might actually even... This is a bit of an aperitif, as it were. You'll love this. Number one, the Shabbos of creation was not given to the nations of the world. So that's the first Shabbos we learn about, the seventh day of creation. God did not bestow that upon the Goy Ha'aretzos, upon the nations of the world. There's a second Shabbos. And that's the Shabbos of Matan Torah. We discussed this last week. And that was not bequeathed to idol worship. Those groups that worship idols, they don't get the concept of Matan Torah. And then the ultimate Shabbos, which is the Shabbos that we all know about. What's the ultimate Shabbos, the grand Shabbos? Olam Haba. Excellent. Olam Haba. Thank you very much. Olam Haba. That's going to be the grand Shabbos. That is not going to be the area of the uncircumcised. What are we talking about? We've got to break it down, just so, because you may see this, and it's like, we've got to discuss it. Number one, the Shabbos of creation was a sign that God created the whole world, and he's above the world, and its physical laws. He's not bound by the physical laws of creation. He created everything, created time, space, energy, matter, all that business. Yeah? Now, those who occupy and relate only to the physical world cannot be given this sign. If you say, listen, unless it's in front of me and I can weigh it, or I can measure it, or I can titrate it or decant it, or I can compress it, it doesn't exist. Such an individual is not set aside for the concept that God is above that and there's many multiple spiritual dimensions above us. In which case, the Shabbos of creation is not for those individuals who link like that. Number two. The Shabbos of Matan Torah refers to the aspect of Shabbos as a Yerusha. He says, and you did not hinchaltai. You did not give it as a Yerusha. You did not bequeath it as an inheritance, which is part of the Torah which reveals its purpose. What's the Shabbos of Matan Torah? We discussed it last week. Matan Torah essentially was a rule set that the infinite creator gave to finite creations called humans to say, you can utilize every single thing in the physical world to get close to me if you follow the rules. That's what Torah is. If someone asks you, what is the Torah is a set of rules designed to allow humanity to approach the creator using physicality. How do you feel about that? As you're all Jews, you know what the Torah is, you've heard about the Torah. Does that fit with what you've, essentially, everything the Torah is telling you about is how to use the physical world in the way that God would want you to. Yeah. Does that fit with you? That's it. Now, if individuals say, no, I worship idols, and I don't agree with what the Torah says, because the Torah says you can't worship idols, you can't do this, you can't do that, and I want to do whatever I want to do. In which case, you don't get the Shabbos of the Matan Torah. You're the second group. The second group, so over the Fasilim, are saying, we don't agree with that. We don't agree. In fact, when Hashem offered us a Torah, so we're not interested in that. We want to worship gods of our own making. We will utilize the world in ways of our own making. We don't agree with that. Fine, then you don't get the second level of Shabbos. The third level of Shabbos is those who are uncircumcised. That is a result of a Shabbos. Now, it's an interesting point. Your Shabbos observance that you're going to get in Olam Haba is going to be directly based upon your Shabbos observance in Olam Hazeh. That makes sense. Those who kept the Shabbos here get to enjoy the Shabbos there. And what does that mean? The very close relationship in existence with Hashem that means, right? Those who are uncircumcised, what does that mean? It means they've got a separation between them and God, a barrier that deters them from uninhibited relationship with Hashem. They cannot bask in Hashem's presence. So what are we saying about the three things? That lack of bris milah means that you have a barrier between you and Hashem, which you're not interested in removing. So you don't get that barrier moved in Olam Haba. If you worship idols, then you don't get the covet of Matan Torah. If you're the goyim with the arutos that don't believe in the Torah and reject the Torah, then you don't believe there's anything spiritual above this physical world. In which case, all three levels of Shabbos is closed to you. That's what it means, v'lo nesata Hashem elokeinu. One, l'goy ha'arutos, to those that reject anything spiritual. Two, v'lo nechaltem elokeinu la'ovdei v'silim, to all those that worship graven images, they don't get the Torah. And you did not bequeath it to those as a contentment for those who aren't circumcised, because the ultimate contentment is Olam Haba. And in Olam Haba, you're going to have a barrier between you if you keep your desires intact and you don't push those towards Hashem, symbolized by the Orla. You can't have that high level of closest and relationship to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why. That's what the Dover Shalom explains. That there's three separate bits alluding to three different elements of Shabbos. The Torah, the concept of spirituality, and Olam Haba, which are linked out by each three of those non-Jewish elements that you could approach the Torah with. Now, we need to talk a little bit about idol worshippers, because this always hits the point, is what is an idol worshipper? Can I go to a church? Can I go into a mosque? These questions are quite practical sometimes. And like, you know, inviting a business or there's a wedding or something like that. What actually is avoid the Zohar? Now, it says, the Magid Sedek says, Shabbos was not given to the nations of the world, even those who don't serve idols. Goy ha'artos means anyone. Let's say you could take a guy in Mongolian, he doesn't serve any idols. But it also wasn't given to the descendants of Ishmael, who are even related to the Jewish people through Avram Avinu and have a quasi-circumcision. But says the Magid Sedek, they serve idols. That's a question. What does that mean? We'll talk about it in a second. Nor was it given to the descendants of Esav, Europeans, who are related to the Jewish people through both Avraham and Yitzchak, but they loathe the mitzvah of Bris Milah. They don't like that at all. It's like a mutilation. Now, while this seems to be saying that B'nai Yishmael are idol worshippers, there's a bit of a dispute with Rambam and everyone else. Rambam seems to maintain that they're not idol worshippers. So why would the Magid Sedek say that they are? So here, there's two answers. Maybe he is referring to the Ishmaelim prior to the development of Islam. Now, we know prior to the development of Islam, they were big time avoiders Zoronics. In fact, there are pockets of pre-Islamic Arabs all across the Levant and the Middle East who are idol worshippers. And they have to keep it very, very quiet, otherwise they get killed by their Muslim brothers. And indeed, when Avram Avinu first met three Arabs, he told them to wash their feet. Rashi says, why? Because they used to worship the dust of their feet as a god. He says, I can't have any idols in my house. You have to wash your feet. That's why you've got to wash your feet, because there'll be no idols in my house. They literally would take that dust and utilize that in a source of worship. Rav Chanina ben Dosa, it's a Gemara in Tarnis, I think Chaf Hei Be'erach, and he was walking in the market, and there was a witch that was going behind him, scraping up the dust of his feet in order to be able to use it in a spell against him. And they would use that. And he saw what was going on. He turned around and says, oh, you can do what you want, love. He said, it's not going to, obviously spoke in a Cockney accent. Come on, it was Babylonia. What do you think they talk about down a market? So, yes, you can do what you want, right? But it's not going to help because he's a Tzaddik Gomel. He's so perfectly righteous, he's outside the realm of anything that this witch can touch. He's perfectly righteous. He's not just a Tzaddik, he's a Tzaddik Gomel. He's a Tzaddik Gomel. Chanina ben Dosa was a Tzaddik Gomel. He was absolutely tip-top. Of all the tip-tops that Tzaddiki mentioned in the Gemara, he's got to be one of the tops. That's why he's mentioned third Perek of Tarnis, which is, even though it's called Eilas Eder Tarnis, when do we actually fast? It's sometimes called Pirkei Dechassida, the Perek of the great pious ones. Because he talks about Chanina ben Dosa, about Elias ben Padas, all the top-level Tzaddikim in the Gemara. You've got to be pretty holding to be there, right? He was probably the tops of all of them. And he says, listen, you can't touch me with this dust business, because I'm outside the framework of nature, because I'm a Tzaddik Gomel. That's what Hashem does with Tzaddik and Gomorim. You can't touch them. Okay, so there is this concept of gathering dust from people's feet. So this could be talking about pre-Islam Arabs. Okay, but what if it's post-Islam Arabs? Oh, says the Magid Tzedek, what does that mean, even though the Rambam says they're not B'nai Avodah Zarah? He means they are. Why? Because they serve God through their own contrived rituals and ideas. And that really is a strange service, which is how you translate Avodah Zarah. When you put God in a box and tell him to jump, that's called Avodah Zarah. Whether you do that with the Quran, or whether you do that with the Gospels, whether you do that with the Vedic literatures, if it's not what Hashem wants you to do, then it's considered Avodah Zarah. It may not be classical Avodah Zarah according to the Mishnah, that you are burning incense and bowing down in front of a particular vessel, in front of a graven image, which clearly fits. But any strange service is an Avodah Zarah. To a certain extent, what Nadav and Avihu did in the Mishkan calls us, it's an alien service. So anything which is outside of what Hashem wants to in his Avodah Zarah. Okay, those are answers to say, how could the Magid Tzedek call the Yishmaelim B'nai Avodah Zarah when it's a Shaila? Maybe they're not, because they're so careful not to have graven images. I just had to do that as a bracket, okay? Okay, in a similar vein, let's talk separately. Idol worshippers refers to even Jews who serve Hashem to receive a reward, and not actually to serve him for the sake of heaven. Wow, that's the Avodah Yisrael that says that. That's about as stringent as I've ever heard. This is called idol worship. Why? Because the material and mundane considerations separate a person from Hashem. The Yishmaelim certainly fit into that definition, as their service is utterly contrived and is the product of their own ulterior motives, which is true. In the name of the Quran, put down your rifles. In the name of the Quran, pick up your rifles. I.e., it acts as a stempel, a rubber stamp, to say, I will utilize religion to be able to get whatever it is I want out of it. That is not how any true religious devotion can work. In contrast, what do we mean about Shabbos? Very, very importantly, the Seleucid that Avraham says, Shabbos was not given to Yishmael or any other Gentile, even those who aren't idol worshippers, nor was it bequeathed to the descendants of Esav, who definitely are B'nai Avodah Zarah, nor to the uncircumcised who cannot rest in Olam Haba, going back to the previous concept. So what's going on? This is a very interesting concept. Are there any non-Jews who are uncircumcised who can keep Shabbos? What did we say last time about a non-Jew that keeps Shabbos? We gave three very long, complicated reasons as to why a Gentile who wants to keep Shabbos has to be killed. What's going on? It seems a very puzzling. But, and yet now we're saying there are Gentiles who do keep Shabbos, and if they do, by the way, they get reward. There's obviously a catch. Who are these Gentiles? In the land of Eretz Yisrael, that's a very interesting question here. In the Torah, the biblical land of Israel, who's allowed to live in the land of Israel according to the Torah? Jews. And Gentiles that have accepted the Noahide laws and specifically have sworn off in front of a Beis Din Avodah Zarah. Then they can stay there too. Lahavdil, to make a separation. Today in Saudi Arabia, no religion is allowed to be practiced except for Islam. It's punishable very severely. Except in certain airports and certain military compounds where separate prayer rooms are allowed under license. You want to live in Saudi Arabia, you've got to be Muslim. That's it. End of. Unless you're working for a government or a military or an ambassadorship where you're allowed a chapel or something like that. We don't really like it, but we'll kind of let that slide. Apart from that, it is, you're not allowed to practice any other religion except for Islam in Saudi Arabia. Under rule of an absolute monarch. Well, la havdil, but alfay havdalas, Saudi Arabia to Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel, under biblical rule, you're not allowed any other religion being practiced except for Judaism. Except for any Gentile who lives there and is sort of avodah zarah, they can stay there too. As long as they do active avodah zarah. No church is allowed in Eretz Israel. Sheikh comes, all the churches have to go. Mosques gone. You've got to knock them down.
So many of them.
So many of them. So, the entire Syrian quarter, in the Christian quarter of the old city, all of that's full of churches. Forget the space. Let's say you didn't have a problem. You're not going to have a problem with space. Eretz Israel is going to extend the entire level of the latitude, they say. The entire ring of Eretz Israel will all be Eretz Israel and keeping Shemitah. You're not going to need the space. You can't have any churches there. But you can be a goy and live there if you swear for avodah zarah. Now, those individuals called a ger toshev, literally a permanent resident or a foreign resident that lives in Eretz Israel, and they commit themselves to Shiva Mrs. B'nai Noach, they can keep some certain aspects of a Shabbos. Why? As a testimony to God's creation and the control of the world, which is Shabbos number one out of the three that we talked about. One is that the Shabbos of creation, two is Shabbos of Matan Torah, three is the Shabbos of Olam Haba, right? They can keep Shabbos number one, saying God is above the universe, he creates the universe. That they can do.
Are they aware of it?
You know, they must be. They have to say it, and they have to have it as an enhancement to the rejection of their idolatry. How do you really prove, if you're a goy, that you really don't believe in idols? It's to a certain extent, say God created the universe. Not my idol. So idol worship must be understood as service of God through an intermediary or for ulterior motives. Since a Jew is not allowed to own a non-Jewish slave who worships idols. You can buy a slave. You can buy a Goyish slave. But he cannot be an idol worshipper under your remit. And even if these non-Jews want to keep Shabbos, because then they're not keeping, they're prohibited from doing so. But they can say, in a part of my rejection of my idolatry is that I wish to say that the God created the universe. Okay, certain elements you can keep then. The Ian Tefillah explains what does it mean to be uncircumcised. That refers to both non-Jews and Jews, even if they are physically circumcised. Many non-Jews today are circumcised. I think in England and America, there's quite a high rate of men that are circumcised for whatever reason. Since they remain spiritually in the category of the Aralim, they're spiritually in the category of the uncircumcised, as well as to Jews who have uncircumcised hearts, keeping Shabbos as a day of physical rest and enjoyment without observing its halachic parameters, that's what it means, the Aralim. So the final level of Olam Haba is going to be based upon your commitment to Shabbos according to the Torah. So even if you say, listen, I'm Jewish, and I was circumcised, but I don't keep Shabbos, and I'm not interested in the Torah's laws, then even though you're still fall under the concept of a Reilin. That's what it says. That's what the Ian Tefillah explains. And those are all the three groups now. The Gohar Aitos, Al-Ovdei Fasilim, and a Reilin. That is now what we've discussed. Now we're up to the point of Kili Yisrael Amachana Sata Ba'ahava. For it was your nation Israel that you gave it with love. We need to discuss why it was given with love. Lezera Yaakov, we never see this anywhere else. To the seed of Jacob, Hashem Bam Bacharto, who you chose. Am Makadashe Shivii, the nation who sanctifies the seventh. What is going on here? Says the Lechem Rav that Shabbos was given to your nation Yisrael. What does that mean? In this respect, he is Hashem Elokeinu, our personal God. V'loina satay Hashem Elokeinu. You did not grant it to anyone else, Hashem Elokeinu, except to Klal Yisrael. Now this is a worth coming moment. This is the worth coming moment. The letters of the word Elokeinu are the beginnings of the words U'loina satay Hashem Elokeinu l'go ha'aretzos. That's absolutely incredible. You didn't give it to the church. Isn't that amazing? If you look at Hashem Elokeinu l'goy ha'aitzos, right, you see that. Those are the letters of the word Elokeinu. And you had not given it, Hashem, to our God, to the nations of the lands. The Rosh HaTavis of that spells the word Elokeinu. I.e., what does it mean to have a personal relationship with Elokeinu, with our God. It means that he's got a personal relationship with you. He, even his name stands for the fact that he didn't give it to anyone else. That's why it's personal. It's a God. God is our God, i.e. Elokeinu, our God, not others, because it's personal because he gave us Shabbos. He gave us Shabbos. Didn't give any, it's a special gift. He gave us. He didn't give anyone else. Amazing. The Magid Tzedek says that Yisrael refers here to men, and Zerah Yaakov is to the children and the women, who are called Beis Yaakov. So really, he gave Shabbos to men, and secondarily, to Zerah Yaakov, to the women and children. So where it says, Kili Yisrael, you gave it to the Israelites, who are the men, you gave it in love. Le Zerah Yaakov Hashem ben Bacharta, to the seed of Jacob you chose. What's going on? Shabbos is, at the end of the day, a time-bound positive mitzvah. Isn't it? You've got to keep it on a Saturday and not whenever you want. It's not like love Hashem, know Hashem exists, believe in Hashem, don't wander after your heart, don't commit a void of Zohar when you get the opportunity. Those are forever mitzvahs that affect every Jew. A positive mitzvah, which is time-bound, is technically something to which women and children are not obligated to keep, right? So what's going on? But since the sanctification of the Shabbos is the intrinsic reason we're chosen by Hashem to make his name known to the world, that's only possible through our sanctifying the Shabbos. The whole nation has to be involved. Just like Pesach, a woman technically doesn't have to eat matzah because it's a time-bound mitzvah, but she can't eat bread. So she's got to eat matzah. If she wants to make a motzi for Yontif, she's got to eat matzah because she can't eat bread. But the concept of eating matzah is time-bound. You've got to do it that night, which means technically she's potter. But you can't sanctify the concept without the women and the children. All Israel need to be involved, because if there's any missing break, it breaks down the whole concept of the Shabbos. Okay, that's one argument of the Magid Tzedek. Rav Shish Raffel Hirsch, you can't do anything. He's just, you got to do some Rav Hirsch. He explains like this. Shabbos was not given to those who occupy lands of power, Goy Ha'aretzos, nor to those who believe in the powers of nature alone, Ovdei Fasilim, nor those who cannot control and guide their desires, Arelim. Rather, it's the Jewish people who are God's nation, says Rosh Hashanah Hirsch. They're the ones whose existence as a nation derives from him. Yisrael don't rely on their own power and might, Amcha. The seed of Yaakov, Zerah Yaakov, are chosen to enlighten the world with the concept of God to those who don't believe in God and they believe in their own powers. They, Klal Yisrael, are the ones who sanctify the Shabbos. Those who are circumcised and curb their lusts and sanctify the physical world through Shabbos observance, they're the ones who can tell other people about God. That's why, not that he didn't give it to them. There's no one else that he can give it to, because no one else wants it. We're the only ones that were willing to take it on. The Shlach HaKadosh Rav Yishai Horovitz, on the same kind of idea, says the Jewish people are a partner, and it was given to them specifically ba'ahava, in love. The letters following the letters of Yisrael in the Aleph base teach us a big thing, says the Shlach. Yisrael, right? Yud, Shin, Resh, Aleph, Lamed. Every letter following those letters makes a new word. After the Yud is a Chof. You with me? After the Shin is a Sof. After the Resh is a Shin. After the Aleph is a base. And after the Lamed of Yisrael, Le, is a Mem. Take those letters. They spell Shabbos Achem, your Shabbosos. The word Yisrael means your Shabbosos. Your Shabbos is what Yisrael is about. That's the Shlach HaKadosh that says that. I think that's a worth-coming moment. Yeah. I.e., what does it mean to be an Israelite? It means to keep each of the three elements of that Shabbos. One is you accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe in 6 days, i.e. that's the Shabbos of creation. Two is you accept the Shabbos of Matan Torah, you accept to utilize the world as a tool to get close to Hashem. Three is you accept the concept of Olam Haba and you will be gaining access to it. Those are your Shabbosos. Those letters follow on from Yisrael. We can explain these phrases like this. What's going on with Zerah Yaakov and all this business? What's going on there? He says, the Shlach says that the great Shabbos of Olam Haba was given to Klal Yisrael with love, while the small Shabbos, which is in Olam Hazeh, was given to Zerah Yaakov. So Yisrael is Olam Haba, and Zerah Yaakov is Olam Hazeh. Because Yisrael, in this week's Parsha, in last week's Parsha, Yisrael on his deathbed in Parshas Vayechi was called Yisrael. But that's only when he hits the highest possible level of spirituality. What was his name usually? Yaakov. Almost all the time his name was Yaakov. Do it. I'm going off. Have you ever... Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love this. This is the Michtav Meleahu, Rav Dessler. You'll love it. Ever been to a big tzaddik and get the feeling he knows what's going on with you, even when he gives you a bit of a stare? Yeah? A lot of people get that. A big tzaddik is very spiritually... I had a chevrusa. I heard this at the mouth of the man himself. I would give you his name. I know you know his name. He's quite a famous rabbi. He had yichidus with Rabbi Sigal, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the Manchester Rosh Hashiva. I'm telling you this. He told me, and it happened to him. He's like, oh, have you heard the story about the guy that goes to Big Rav? And he like knew what he was thinking. Have you heard that? No, this is this man telling me. He was a bocha. And he walked in to get a brocha from Rav Sigal before he went from Manchester to go to Eretz Yisrael to go to Yeshiva. Black and white, Haredi bocha, okay? And he walked in, Rav Sigal looked at him like this. Now, for the tape. For the tape, he looked a bit bemused. And he drew him close, and very menschlich, he said, come here. He beckoned him, and he whispered in his ear so that nobody else could hear what he's going to say. That's the right thing to do, rather than say out loud. And he just whispered in his ear, and he says, by now, I'd have thought you would be holding by Chol of Yisrael. Which, for translational purposes, which means by now, I would have expected you to be eating sweets and things like that, having milk, which is rabbinically covered. You should be having Chalav Akum. That's not good for you. Let's just get something straight here, folks. We need to have a bit of reality check. I know this actually happened because I know it happened to the person himself. And he told me this. And he said he took one look at him and he could see he wasn't having kosher milk. He saw it as he walked through the door. And he was like, black and white, Yeshiva Bocha, something's up, he's having treif milk. And he knew, it wasn't that something's up, don't know what that is, it could be video games, could be Shabbos problems, it could be any. He knew it was milk, which by the way, is not the world's most intense avera. And he could see it on the guy's face. I know this happened because this person said to me, he burst out crying, uncontrollably. And the next thing that Manchester Rosh Hashiva did was he gently pushed a box of tissues his way to like mop up all the leakage out of his face. Do you know what I'm saying? He said from there on in, he didn't have any Mars bars anymore. He only ate kosher sweets. Excuse me. We're talking about an individual who was very great, but he wasn't Yaakov Avinu. With the greatest respect to him, he wasn't on that league. Got a guy who looks at another person and can tell whether or not there's Chol of Yisrael issues, let alone like mitzvahs, big ones. Yeah? He's standing under the chuppah with a woman he's about to marry. He doesn't feel maybe there's someone under the chuppah that isn't his wife. If you're so sensitive that you can check Chol of Yisrael on the face of a stranger who you've not met, do you not think under your own chuppah you might feel as if the woman standing next to you may not actually be the woman you engaged? Yeah. How come the tzaddik radar wasn't like, woo, woo, we have a problem. We have a problem. This isn't just not Chol of Yisrael. This isn't the woman I dated. Why didn't Yaakov flip off the handrails when Leah was substituted for Rachel? Indeed, the Medrash Rabbah says that everyone in the room knew what was going on, but they were terrified of Yaakov. So they were singing, Olay, 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 Olay. Now, they were scared of Lavan, so they couldn't just say what was going on. And Lavan had tricked them, actually, to pay for the whole chasana, by the way. An amazing medrash. Yeah. He said, give me all your money, I'll make a chasana. He never paid them back. Unbelievable trickster. So they're all paying for this. They're scared of Yaakov, so they're scared. What are we going to do? We can't say anything against Lavan, because he's dangerous. We can't say anything against Yaakov, but they can't. So they tried to drop the hint So they were walking and everyone's going, lay, 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 lay. He was like, yeah, this is great, it's my chasna. Everything is telling him something's wrong. And he knew when he met the man, he said, I want Rochel, not the younger one, not any other one, because you already thought maybe you'd swap. He knew there's a chance that Leah could be swapped. He was fine, he went through with it. I have to have the Vartar here. This is going to keep you for the rest of your life. You're going to love it. Who was Leah? There was Leah and Rochel. And there were two sisters, one set aside for two brothers. The older one gets the older brother, the younger one gets the younger brother. So who gets who?
Leah, which is
older brother. Leah gets the Esav, and Rochel gets the Yaakov. Leah didn't like the idea of it. Sorry, not your business. That's the shidduch computer. You know, take your lumps. So what did she do? She literally cried her eyes out. Damaging her eyes. The point of damaging her eyes. Had she never got married and remained a spinster, she had a one against the gezeirah. I'm going off when I've gone off. Come with me on my sub, go off. It will be lovely. This has got nothing to do with now Yaakov and anyone else. I've gone off so far, you might get lost. Which is why I'm giving you a map. Why is it Hashem does not command women to get married? He only commands men to get married. Good question, isn't it? Why do we get married? Sorry?
To reproduce.
To
reproduce. Or to suffer.
Excellent. To go forth and multiply. To have children.
To suffer in this world.
Don't make it personal. No, the reason it's actually what you're saying is actually bang on. You don't realize you've actually hit the answer. Why doesn't God tell women to get married? Because darchecha darche noam. The paths of Torah are pleasantness. And pregnancy and birth are pain. Which means if you're going to get, God can never command you to go through that pain. So that's why he doesn't make it a mitzvah. He would never force women to have to go through that. So he didn't. Isn't that great? That's the Meshech Chochmah that says that. It's the Meshech Chochmah that says God would never command women to go through the throes of death just to have kids. So he doesn't. Because the ways of Torah are pleasantness. So if you want to be pleasant, I won't tell you to get married. Why should you have to go through that? Meshech Chochmah. Yeah, black and white, Meshech Chochmah. All right, now I'm back. So Leah, no. So Leah turns around and says, if Leah never gets married, ever, she's won over the gazelle of having to marry Esav, right? If Leah gets married, this is one level. If he never gets married, she's winning. She's won if she never marries anyone ever. If Leah gets married to not Esav, she's won again, because nobody's as big a Rosha as him. If Leah gets married to a tzaddik, that's ridiculous. That's more than you could have ever asked for. If Leah gets married to the greatest tzaddik, possibly who has ever or will ever live, that's got to be called bingo full house. If Leah gets married to a tzaddik, the greatest tzaddik who has ever lived, before his own zivug is even meant to marry her, then that is off the scale. Do you agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Leah achieved through prayer. Through prayer, she knocked all levels out. Now, let's put her to the side for a moment. Who's this Yaakov fellow? He's an individual that's going to Yisra Kael. He's going to struggle, physically fight an angel, a divine being, and win. She is a woman that struggled with a divine decree and one, she's the perfect zivug for Yisrael. Now the Mishnah says if there's two people walking through a door, one's a Ben Torah and one's not a Ben Torah, the Ben Torah's got to go first. If there's two Bnei Torah, but one's a Talmud Chacham and one isn't, Talmud Chacham goes first. There's two people inside Yaakov Avinu. There's the Yisrael aspect of his personality and there is the Yaakov aspect of his personality. Who comes first? Yisrael's the Mokadosh. He's got to get the first zivug. So Hashem saw to it that Yisrael gets married first. That's why there was no alarms. That's why the tzaddik wasn't worried. He knew Yisrael was under the chuppah. The right zivug for Yisrael was Leah. The right zivug for Yaakov was Rachel.
In simple terms,
Hashem stopped him from realizing.
No, he didn't need to realize. He did realize. It wasn't he stopped him from realizing. He was on such a high level of awareness, he was actually marrying the right woman. That's why it says the next day, Yaakov said to Laban, where's my wife? But Yisrael was married. Yisrael got Leah. Great. Now, why am I telling you all of this? Because we were saying, that was the difference between Yisrael and the Zeri Yaakov. Yisrael is a name of spiritual, very high plateau. Yaakov is the name of a spiritual lowly plateau. Yisrael is a name reserved for Klal Yisrael in Olam Haba. Base Yaakov, the B'nai Yaakov, is a name reserved for us in Olam Hazeh. Spiritual high, spiritual lows. You're getting this? It's making sense. God, it all comes together, isn't it? It's amazing. This stuff. It's lovely. I can't keep standing here saying how amazing. It's ridiculous. Someone's got to say it. Okay. So I guess nobody else is saying how amazing it is.
Does it relate to the amazing. Zohar? The Zohar, because in the Yaakov, he's got Tiferet, he's got the Tuma, a lot of
okay, that's a separate concept. So Tiferet and Yaakov, Titen Emes Yaakov, and the concept of Emes and Tiferet, that's who he was as a person. It's a harmony between Chesed and Gevurah. It's a separate concept. So now, what's going on? Oh, God, there's so much going on here. So what does it mean? Zera Yaakov is the name for the people of Israel in this world, while Yisrael is the name for us in the next world. So ki li Yisrael amachana sato ba'ahava. To your nation Israel, you've given it in love, when there's going to be the highest level of love, which is the love between Hashem and Klal Yisrael in Olam Haba, the ultimate love that can exist. Lezera Yaakov Hashem b'machato amakadu sheshavi. While we're on this one, to the seed of Jacob, which you have chosen for this special life mission, which is the nation that sanctifies the seventh while they're here on this physical earth. Mamish, bang on the words. That's a Shlach Kodesh. You should have that in mind. We're talking about the two experiences of the Jew, one in Olam Hazeh and one in Olam Haba. We can also explain these phrases based on the explanation we gave earlier. Shabbos is a mitzvah that involves satiation from creative activity. Creative of externally creative activity. You can eat, which is an internally creative activity, but you can't build a house, which is an externally active. Because God refrained from externally creative activity, not internally creative activity. Because he was busy making something called rest. He made something called rest on the seventh day. Are you with me with it? This is old school stuff. We did this, yeah? But anyway, it's nice to go over it. This was not given to the nations of the world because their purpose, listen to this, is to build the world physically. Why would he tell the Chinese and the Indians and to rest from their very purpose? Their purpose of the Goy Ha'atzos is to physically build the world. That's their purpose. So they should do it every single day of the week, including Saturday. It's only to Yisrael Amcha, your mission, your people, your nation, who is to build the world spiritually. Shabbos is the day which reflects the spiritual development. So we're also working on Shabbos. But we're working spiritually. I always tell people who are not from, don't think Shabbos is a day off. It's a day on, it's just a day on, different on. It's different on, it's not a day off. You don't put your feet up, do nothing, just twiddle your thumbs. Eat. There's a lot to do on Shabbos. You're expected to do a lot. You're expected to spiritually connect with Hashem. It's a lot of work. I'm going to be completely honest. For a Jew, it's a working day. But you work in a different way. Rather than going to the office and doing things physically, you go to shul or whatever, and you do things spiritually. But you are expected there. It's like you expected the office. You expected the Saturday office. My Saturday office. You know what I mean? The Saturday office is shul, and kriyas hatorah, and mincha, and you got davening, and there's lots to do, and you've got to eat three times. You've got to, and you've got to sing songs. You've got to. Why? Because you've got to connect. You've got to. So it's a day on. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it's a day on, but the way it's a day on for us is spiritually. The way it's a day on for them is physically. That's because that's their role. Because they didn't want it. Hashem said, do you want to do it? He goes, no. And Antoine said, no. So your job on Saturday is to do your spiritual work. Do you hear? Does that make sense? So they've got to build the world physically. We've got to inject it spiritually. We do our work on Saturday. They must do their work on Saturday. That's why, if they turn around and say, no, we're going to build it spiritually, they're like, why? That's ridiculous. You have no claim to that because that's not what you want to do. So you can't just jump in on Saturday and start doing that. You've got no tools. What is this inheritance of Israel? That is the bond of Shabbos to Hashem that was not given to those who serve idols, which separate you from Hashem, that prevent that bond, but rather Lezeri Yaakov, to the seed of Yaakov, who he chose. Lezeri Yaakov v'shebam b'charita. Because Yaakov represents the B'nai Torah, and our direct link to Hashem is transmitted through the Torah to the descendants of Yaakov. Interesting idea, no? Notice, by the way, the Yesod V'Shosha Avoida says, when you recite these words on Shabbos, you should do so with an incredible joy, because you know that he, this person, whoever's saying it, is among those that are called Zera Yaakov and have got the gift of Shabbos. If you say, Lezera Yaakov, Hashem ben Bacharta, that means, you know what you're really saying? You chose me. I'm here, standing here doing this because you want me to be here, because you chose me for this. He says, you should be literally on the edge of your tippy toes with joy going, thank you. So it's like you've won the lottery. It's like he's giving it to you because he loves you. There's billions and billions and billions of people that have lived in the world, right? Billions. And none of them, very few of them, have got what you've got. Very, very few of them. Hashem said, I'm giving this special link in this relationship to you. And well, as you're saying the words, that means you're kind of talking about yourself. Lezeri Yaakov, that's me. Hashem ben Bacharta, which you've chosen me. Am Makadashay Shavi'i. You sanctify the seventh day. Kulam Yisabu Visangu Mitavecha. You're going to get the Tanug. You're going to get satiated with all this delight of Hashem's goodness. What does that mean? The Rekayach says the Jewish people are specially referred to as Zera Yaakov because Yaakov Avinu set the Tchum Shabbos, the Shabbos boundary. Have we learned? I don't think we've done Tchum Shabbos yet. Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 amos. You've got two. If you're in the middle of nowhere, you've got a 2,000 amos radius that you can walk from that position on Shabbos. Now, if you're in a town, that Tchum starts at the boundary of the town. It doesn't have to be geographic, whatever the town shape is. You've got you square it off and you make a 2,000 amos. That, have we done that? Where it's got the concept of Tchum Shabbos. You've got 2,000 amos. What's going on? In Shechem, when he returned from his encounter with Esav, the verse in Bereishis, Lamed Gimel Yudches, that's Genesis 33:18, says, and Yaakov returned complete to the city of Shechem, and he encamped in front of the city. We learn out that since Yaakov set the Shabbos boundaries around the city of Shechem, one who observes Shabbos is given the inheritance of Yaakov, which is an inheritance without boundaries and limits. Nachlas Yaakov. Nachlas Yaakov is a Yerusha Beli Mitzrayim. Nachlas Yaakov, says the Negun. Beli Mitzrayim, without boundaries. Someone who keeps Shabbos is given inheritance that doesn't have any boundaries spiritually. Which is why the Banos Slavchad, the daughters of Slavchad, who was the guy that carried sticks on Shabbos in order to transgress the Sabbath for his own reasons, because he felt as if people weren't keeping Shabbos properly. So he was willing to give up his life in a legal suicide so people would get scared and go, gosh, we ought to keep Shabbos better. Although you shouldn't have done it if anyone had asked. No one had told him to do it, but that's why he did it. That means they would technically lose all their inheritance rights. Because anyone, if you don't believe Mitzrayim Nachlas Yaakov, you've got no boundary to your inheritance if you keep Shabbos. But if you break Shabbos, you've got no inheritance. So that's why they went all the way up to Moshe Benu and said, our father died for his own sin. You've got to still give us our inheritance. So he says, what do you mean? He broke Shabbos. Yeah, but he broke Shabbos for good reasons. So no one could know whether or not that's true. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do? Pick up the phone, speak to Hashem, ask the boss, goes, how can I know? Hashem, we've got a bit of a complicated case here. These girls say that actually their father had great kavanah. Who can know? Who can show? Hashem says, yes, they did. They speak well. It's true. They are going to get an inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. That's true. They're saying that completely correctly. That's why they mention about the fact that he died for his own sin, not because of Shabbos. He was wrong to think about it because you shouldn't give up just because people need to keep Shabbos better. That's between you and Hashem. But he did it like that. It wasn't to break Shabbos, it was to enhance Shabbos. In which case, we still get our inheritance. Hashem says, yeah, that's true. In that particular case, that's true. You have to get a bit of Moshe Rabbeinu could call the boss, right? He could do that. He had a hotline and he could pick up the phone and go, oh, interesting. The Magid Siddiq says that when it says the nation who sanctifies the seventh, Am Kadesh Shavi, I'd like to point out something amazing. What's the seventh? Am Mekadashay Shavi'i. The nation that sanctifies the seventh. What seventh are we talking about?
Shabbos.
Then why does it say Am Mekadashay Shabbos? Is that a good question?
Because seven is also the seven. There's all the different things.
Check out the brains on Adrian. It says seventh. It's the nation that sanctifies the concept of seven, which is what? That is Shabbos. And it's also Tishrei in the months. Seventh month from Nisan, right? It's Tishrei. It's a very, very special month. And it's Shemitah. It's the seven sabbatical cycles. And it's the Yovel. It's the Jubilee. It's the seven of sevens. Every 49 years, which is the square of seven. All the sevens we sanctify. We're the nation that sanctifies a seven. Now, remember we've discussed this before. When you make a cube, it has six sides. What goes in it is the seventh. The inside of the box is what's important. Boroshis, he created six. So he created the six continents of the physical world and then put something mystical, something spiritual in the seventh that you've got to work with. We're the nation that sanctifies the stuff inside the box. The stuff inside the box could be Shabbos, could be Shemitah, could be Tishrei, could be Yovel, whatever the seventh is. That's us. That's why it means that we're the nation that does this whole sanctificational job for you on earth. Not just Shabbos. It's interesting. There's another way. I've done with you the Gemara on Shabbos. It's 69b. You drop out on a desert island, you don't have a luach, and you don't know whether or not what day it is. And the question is, when do you keep Shabbos? Do you start keeping Shabbos immediately and count 6 days? Or do you count 6 days and then keep Shabbos? It's a whole machlokas, beautiful philosophical concept that things are sanctified and then it works towards it. Or do you work towards sanctification? That's a very interesting idea. Remember we've done that? Now, there's a very interesting Gemara. It says like this. If you're ever chas v'shalom in that situation, there's something that you've got to know halachically. You can't just count. Let's say you go, I'm going to count 7 days and the seventh day will be Shabbos, right? You've got a problem. You don't really know when Shabbos is. Halachically, you've got to keep every day as Shabbos, but you're allowed to do anything you need to do to save your life. But on the seventh day, you make Kiddush. So if you've decided you're going to count 6 days and then make Shabbos on the seventh you make Kiddush. Every other day you don't make Kiddush, and you don't eat Lakovat Shabbos Kodesh. But you've got to be careful that perhaps that day is actually Shabbos, because you don't know, and you can only do Malacha Pekuch Nefesh. But you can't make Kiddush because you've decided that you're making Shabbos on that seventh day. That seventh day could be Wednesday. Who knows? But you've just that's the day you got there, right? Now, it's an interesting thing. The Baruch She'amar says that it's quoting from a Medrash Pliya that says, let's say you do that and you drop down there and you've been keeping Shabbos on the seventh day. When you make Kiddush on the seventh day, the Shekhinah turns up to bless you as if it's Shabbos. Because for you, that's as Shabbos as you can get. You're doing everything you can. It's a beautiful idea, isn't it? Beautiful idea. Just thought I'd give you that.
Isn't that what Moshe did? Didn't you say to the pastor before in Mitzrayim?
No, there he actually kept Saturday. Yeah. No, that's very no. That was a coincidence. That's different.
That was a coincidence.
No, that's not coincidence. No, that's not just the opposite. The Ma'ariv Shemesh says that he said to Pharaoh, "These people are going to need a day off." While he was hiding out as a 17-year-old, people need a day off in order to be strong for work. He goes, yeah, that's probably a very good idea. We shouldn't work them all 7 days, or every day. He goes, let's divide the week up into 7 day groups, which I didn't have. And let's call every seventh day a day off for good slave production. He goes, okay, great. He just happened to set Shabbos as that day off so they could keep their concept of Shabbos. That's because his mum, Basia, who's his adopted mother, taught him about the concept of Shabbos and he let Pharaoh know about it. That's something different. Oh. When it says, all of them together will enjoy and be satisfied from the delight of your goodness. You see this word kulam, isabu visangu. What does that mean? Every Rosh Hashanah, Hashem sets aside the amount of money you're going to make every year, right? Yeah. This we know about this, Dov Yadua. Everybody knows that Hashem, on all that every penny you're going to get for the whole year is set on Rosh Hashanah. That's it. You can't get a penny more. That's it. Except there's a separate account.
Shabbat.
Excellent. The money you spend on your Shabbos meals comes out of God's account. That's it. Yom Tovim, Shabbos, that's it. It's on God's tab. So it's on God's tab. You get that back. Vinasnu says, test me. You're doing it on my account, I'll give you the money back. I'll find you the money. Which means if he's going to give you £10,000 this week, whatever it is, £10,000 plus the cost of all your Shabbos meals. Plus the cost of your Shabbos meals. So what's that? That's a separate account. That doesn't come out of the Rosh Hashanah account. That's a separate Shabbos petty cash account where he will forward funds to you. That's what it means you eat out of his goodness. How do you translate it? They will all be satisfied and delighted from your goodness. What's the your goodness? It ain't your goodness, it's God's. You're going to be satisfied from God's goodness because he's paying for the meal. That means every Shabbos you're his guest because he's buying the food. No, it's my house. It's my plate. Yeah, but it's his food. No, it isn't. I got the receipts from Halpern's. Yeah, but it's his account. That didn't come from your Rosh Hashanah account. He'll give that to you back. If he's Mancunian, so he'll give it you back. That was a give it you back thing. That was a Manchester thing. It was lost. It was okay. I tried it. He'll give it you back. It doesn't matter. All right. Last things last, and then we'll have a break.
Can I do some working out with Hashem? Say, right, well, I don't think I've had for the past. So
you'll find it's to the penny. You'll find it's to the penny. On the seventh day, you desired it and you sanctified it. The Avudraham says, what does that mean, Hashem desired and sanctified it? That doesn't make sense. If that was the case, it should have said, on the seventh day, you desired and sanctified. Rather, on the seventh day, you desired it. What is he talking about? And on the seventh day, you desired it and sanctified it. Don't say and on. Just say you desired the seventh day. Not and on. Rotsisa boy. And on it. Vikidashtechem dashyomim. You sanctified it and called it delight. What's and on it? What do you mean? What are you talking about? What's the subject of the sentence? If you think it's as we would have thought and you like Shabbos, say you sanctified the Shabbos. Not and on it. You desired it. Do you hear the question here? It says that Ian Tefillah. This is beautiful. This is a worth coming moment. Do you understand what we're saying? It says, and on it you desired it. What are you talking about? Just say. You just say, I desire the Shabbos. Not and on it. The Ian Tefillah says, what's the it? That refers to the Jewish people. Hashem desired it. That means those who were united as one person with one heart to receive the Torah, that's what he desired for the seventh. On the seventh day, on Shabbos, he desired it. What did he desire? The entire race of Klal Yisrael. Rotsisa boy, that's who you desired it. V'kidashto chem das yomim. Because by looking at the Sabbath, who did he really end up desiring? Us, because we keep it. That's what it means on the Sabbath day, you desired it. What's it? The people of Israel. And you sanctified it. You made Klal Yisrael holy. On the seventh day, how does he make us holy? He gets us to keep Shabbos. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's us that he wants. Shabbos is just a tool in his toolbox to make us worthy. It's the love between us and him, which is paramount. Shabbos is just a tool to get there. Does that make sense? Isn't that amazing? Even the Shabbos is just another tool in Hashem's toolbox to generate a merit for us so that his love for us is fully justified. It's just a tool, like anything else. Be it time or place or person or mitzvah or object or item, whatever it is, they're just tools at his disposal to bring us close to him justifiably. Now, that's in time. That's a big thing. But there's other things like matzah. It's done on pace. You've got to crunch the matzah and you've got to sit on a lulav and... Sorry, you've got to sit in a sukkah. You can sit on a lulav as well, but it'd probably damage it. And it's not very comfortable. Sit in a sukkah, wave a lulav, you know what I mean? Eat donuts on Hanukkah. Obviously, that's a mitzvah. So though those kinds of things, they're done at different times with different objects in different ways. Why? So that we generate schar. What's the schar? That is a justifiable bond of closeness with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what he wants. He desired it. Who's it? Us. The entire nation, the concept of Israel. So what did he do? He sanctified the Sabbath with us, giving us very good justifiable reason to be desired by him. Isn't that a great idea? People, it's been real. We've got really, really far. We've just got the last three words of this paragraph, and we're done. Zecher l'maaseh v'reishis. We've got to just discuss what that means. We haven't quite discussed that, but we'll do that next time. Then we finish Shabbat Shacharis, and it's on to